surprises. There probably is not a better word to describe God's favorite method of working. Have you learned yet that you can never guess what he's up to? You think he's going to open one door and he closes it, and then he turns around and closes the door you were convinced he would open. He takes delight in doing what is the unexpected and can never be anticipated. I love that about him because it not only keeps me trusting, it makes me wait. And both are hard for me, trusting and waiting. Maybe you have the same issues in your life. But Christmas rolls around, and here we are again at the greatest of all surprises. I mean, who would have ever expected that God would come as a baby and be placed in a feeding trough? And of all places, Bethlehem. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I love to read, and I realize with a military background that the 75th anniversary of the Second World War will happen in 2020. In fact, early September, which means that a number of books are written about the greatest generation who helped win that war. In fact, they won it. A great story I came across takes place in a most unusual place, inside a B-17 bomber, called back then a Flying Fortress. 10 men form the crew of a Flying Fortress. There are gunners all around, tail, belly, sides, top, front. There's a pilot, co-pilot, navigator, bombardier. And this particular flight has a crew that's unusually nervous, not only because they've lost friends in previous mission that they've flown, but because they've come close themselves. In fact, every flight is sort of a flirtation with death. The chaplain on the base in England realized that these men were really edgy. Some were about to break. And he thought, maybe there's something I can do or say by being with them that would help in this particular mission that would take them deep into the enemy territory. So we got on board and they took off, and after hours of flying, they found themselves very close to their destination when that payload would be released. But of course, there were tall anti-aircraft guns down below aimed right at them and the other planes. And there were these Messerschmitts and Focke-Wulfs and other German fighters swarming around them like angry wasps, firing away, and the sound was almost deafening. And the chaplain figured, this is my moment. There was a little lull in the fight, and so he got on the intercom, and he said, all right, men, listen to me carefully. The enemy is out there, but God is on this plane. He will see us through. He is here. He is among us. He will get us back safely to our base. You can count on it. The tail gunner, about 75 feet on the other end of the plane, grabbed the intercom and said, with all due respect, Chaplain, he may be up there at the cockpit with you guys, but he ain't back here with me in the tail of this plane. And about that time, boom! Would you believe it? A shell went through the bottom of the fuselage and out the top, but it didn't explode miraculously. It didn't explode. It just tore a hole in the bottom and ripped its way out the top about 3 feet from the tail gunner, who is now about as white as a bed sheet. He gets back on the intercom and he says, as you were, Chaplain, God just stepped in. I don't know of four better words to describe Christmas than God just stepped in. And have you noticed every year he doesn't come with a flare or a flash or some kind of loud shout? We save that for the 4th of July. He comes quietly, almost reverently. He comes in peaceful moments that calm our spirits and get our attention. Phillips Brooks was one of the great preachers of the 19th century. And before he died, he left in his legacy a wonderful Christmas carol we sing every year. We did today. We didn't sing a particular stanza as a favorite of mine from O Little Town of Bethlehem. How silently the wondrous gift is given. There he lay, for shepherds to find him, for the wise men to see him, for angels to announce him. You see, he doesn't always come with loud explosions in his surprising moments. God often steps in the most unobtrusive, unexpected ways. James Allen Francis was a contemporary of the pastor I mentioned earlier, Phillips Brooks. In fact, he lived a little bit longer than Brooks. And before his death, he searched for a way to describe the beauty and simplicity and subtlety of Jesus' person and work. He put it in words that we love to return to every Christmas. He wrote, "Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop for 30 years. And then he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book, never went to college, never owned a home, never had a family. Never put his foot inside of what we would call a big city. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had nothing to do with this world except the naked power of his divine manhood. While still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. Another betrayed him. He was turned over to his enemies, went through the mockery of a trial. Six of them, all of them illegal. Though innocent, he was nailed to a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for his only piece of property he had on this earth, and that was his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19, now 20 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race. He is still the leader in the column of progress. I'm far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever were built, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings who ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of mankind upon this earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life. And what's amazing to me is that every year he returns in a new way, surprising ways, and there are those who think they can live another year without him. He doesn't bang on the door of our lives to force himself in. He's a gentleman. He waits for an invitation. And the wonderful thing I love about Christ is that he never turns down an invitation. You invite him in, and he just walks in. That's his style. Doesn't it make sense that you do that today? It will fill your Christmas not so much with music, though that will take on a whole new dimension. It will fill your life with a whole new direction when you let him just walk in. Bow with me, will you? Sit very quietly. There are some in this place who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may have heard this invitation half your life or more. But I have one more bit of surprising news. This may be the reason you came. Not to hear the beautiful music, but to let Christ just walk into your life. Invite him in. Lord Jesus, right now, please come into my life. I give you my heart. I take your life. Thank you for coming in. Dear Father, we are grateful for this place to worship. We're grateful for wonderful music and time to be still and to hear again that you are God. But most of all, we're grateful for Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. We pause right now to give him first place, and we invite you, Lord, this season to just walk right in. Take charge. Use our gifts now for the purpose of making your Son known here in this community and beyond around the world. We give joyfully and generously, like you give, in the name of your Son, whom you gave, Jesus Christ himself. And all his people said, amen.